Yeah, welcome to
Radio.
And welcome to Penn's Vlog Talk today. We have had a lot going on, and we don't have a ton of time today to get to it. However, all of that being said, the Penguins made a trade yesterday. What they did was they shipped Brandon Sutter out to Vancouver for Nick Bonino, Clendening with a third-round pick for a second-round pick. Now, what this has enabled the Penguins to do is essentially get two solid players, or three technically if you consider the second-round draft pick, but it allows us to have two solid players for one, and we're not spending nearly the cap that we would have had we kept Brandon Sutter. So where do the Penguins go from here after this move? The one thing that the Penguins have not addressed thus far is defensemen, and I know that Jim Rutherford has been fairly much on track by saying that that's something that they'll look at addressing possibly towards the beginning of camp. Now, whether or not he's able to do that is going to depend on a couple of options. And really what it really comes down to, the basement bargain deal here, is that Derek Pouliot and Olli Maatta have got to be able to be the defensemen that they suspect that they will be. If there's a situation where Pouliot or Maatta isn't as good as they suspect, then I would imagine that Rutherford probably at the end of the day is going to have to move on a defenseman. But the problem is, the reason why you can't do that now is the defensive crop, especially considering it's almost August, isn't very deep. And I don't think that they can make that adjustment by just simply going out and getting a third line or a third pairing defenseman like a Cody Franson, who, depending on which circles you talk to, he's either a 1-2 pairing or a 3-4 pairing. So for the Penguins right now, they're hovering right about $1.4 million and up. They did sign Eric Fair, which also kind of shores up some depth issues that this team has had. But Eric Fair is going to be out at least 4 to 6 months. So essentially what's going to happen is the Penguins are probably going to utilize some of Fair's LTIR, which will help give us a little bump on the salary cap front. But it also presents sort of a problem. A lot of people have been discussing Chris Kunitz, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is a lot of people suspect that Jim Rutherford could move him prior to the season. I don't think that that's going to happen, and the reason why I don't, basically because at some point, let's say the Penguins have an injury, they're going to have to be able to sign another player, and they can't effectively do that unless they have cap to do so. So in other words, let's say one of our forwards goes down. The only option Rutherford would have at that point is to either trade Kunitz for somebody to fill in the gaps or bring up somebody from the AHL. So it's sort of a treacherous road that the Penguins are walking on currently, but it's something that they can definitely do in the long term. But in the short term, I don't think he's going to make many more moves. I think one of the most important moves that's probably going to happen is he's probably going to sign a fourth line center, as he should. But once again, it goes back to the cap and the fact that the Penguins only have $1.4 million in cap. So it's going to be really interesting to see what Jim Rutherford can do. However, I think at the end of the day, everything that we've seen from Kessel to Fair to Bonino to Clendening is pretty much going to, I think, be the case until probably either, say, 2 months into the season, deadline deal, or not at all. It's going to depend on Pouliot being a great player. Can he really step into that pairing, that second and first and second pairing, or that third and fourth? It's just really going to depend on him, and they hope that Chris Letang can come back and Olli Maatta can come back and not have the problems that they had last season. Other than that, I think what we're seeing here, especially with the way that Rutherford is making some deals, is this team is going to be fast. They're not just going to be fast, but they're going to be highly skilled. And the one thing that concerns me, and it should concern you as a Penguins fan, is how is that puck possession and that transition going to come into effect when we're playing tougher teams like Columbus or even, Boston for that matter? If you don't have the sandpaper and grit, all of the offense in the world isn't going to change the dynamic. Where the dynamic is going to come into this is where Johnston is able to mix and match guys that play well together. If you look at our roster currently, we really don't have anybody that has kind of that salty demeanor or that gritty demeanor. I think Bonino is probably going to fit that type of role. And one of the things that the pundits have said is, well, okay, you're getting rid of Brandon Sutter, but at the end of the day, what have you added? Well, in Bonino, you're going to get a guy that's skilled at the faceoffs. He's maybe not as quick as Sutter, but he plays a different kind of game than Sutter. He's got a little grit to his game, almost comparatively to a Blake Como, the only difference being he's younger than Como, and I think the upside of Bonino is better. So the dynamic going into the season is really going to depend on whether or not some of these players can adjust and play sort of a grimy kind of game when it calls for it. Because if they can't, then we're going to be similarly probably in the same situation next season, I think. And this is looking up and down at the roster. There's a lot of question marks, and I think one of the biggest question marks is Sergei Plotkinov. A lot of people have asked me repeatedly, you know, who is this guy? Is he going to be any good? Go to YouTube, type in Sergei Plotkinov, KHL, and you will see the type of player he is. There's a couple of highlight reels that are out there. It looks to me like he's a sniper, crashes the front of the net, and that's the one thing that the Penguins have in Patrick Hornquist. However, towards the tail end of the season last year, Patrick Hornquist wasn't exactly playing that style. So I think if you can bring in a guy that is not afraid to go near the net and feels free to get all the garbage goals he can and has somewhat of a nasty demeanor on top of it, I think that definitely is an upgrade from last season. And truly, if you want to look at Jim Rutherford per capita from last season to this season, it looks like he's learned something. And I'm really skeptical when I say that because sometimes appearances can be a little disillusioned if you're not careful. I think that Rutherford has made some solid moves, but one of the things that pundits are saying is, well, that's great. He's addressed the front line, and he's got typically 9 players now that can score anywhere between 15 to 30 points per season. So at the end of the day, is this move going to be great, or is he ignoring the defenseman? And that's one of the things that a lot of people seem to think, is that he's ignoring one part and fixing another. And I don't think that that's the issue. I think the issue at this point, especially with him not adding, say, a defenseman, it's because we don't have the cap to do so. And when you have the luxury of being able to sign an Eric Fair or go out and trade for a Bonino, you do it. If the luxury's there, do it. It's especially considering it's probably not going to handicap the Penguins financially at all. But what else is out there defensively? And a lot of people are asking another question, and the other question is, what can the Penguins do defensively? Can they go out and trade for a guy? And I said it at the top of the show, I don't think there's that much available out there right now. A lot of people are talking about Cody Franson, and I'll get to that in just a few minutes. But I think the idea that the Penguins have $1.4 million and they can somehow make a trade, facilitate a trade to bring in a defenseman that's has a little seniority or has a lot of experience, it just isn't going to happen that way. And so I think realistically, Rutherford's probably going in the right direction. Look, it's something he said he's going to address if he needs to, but if there's no immediate reason to do it, then you don't do it. But I also put a little disclaimer in there with that by saying if this team flounders defensively and lets in a lot of goals, I think you'll see Rutherford act pretty quick. And honestly, you're going to see somebody like Kunitz, or you're going to see somebody like Perron or somebody like Scuderi moved. So that's where the Penguins stand as far as their roster is concerned for now. I don't think that Rutherford's going to really do anything significant more at this point. I think he's pretty much settled on what he has. The only thing I think he may add is a fourth line center. I know that the Penguins talked to Mike Santarelli prior to signing Eric Fair, so I'm not sure if there wasn't a deal that couldn't be met, or the Penguins were just sort of playing with him and Fair, trying to see which one they wanted more. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I think they're going to sign that fourth line center. And I don't think Santarelli is a fourth line center. I think he could play on the second or third line. So at the end of the day, that may have just been a situation where he said, I'm not going to play on the fourth line. So that may be the case there. I'm not really sure. I don't have any really solid information on that. One thing that we can talk about really quickly is Eric Farrell. Everybody knows that he is definitely going to be out for 4 to 6 months with elbow reconstruction surgery. And a lot of people are wondering, is this going to be a guy that when he comes back is going to help this team or not, and why would Rutherford sign a guy that's hurt? Very simply, it's a good sign. The upside of that is he comes in December, January sometime and could pile in some points. He had a great season last year. I don't think the Penguins overpaid for him. I think he probably, if he were healthy, probably could have gotten more money contractually. But I think at the end of the day, the Penguins got a good deal with him, and it's just going to be how he's going to recuperate from the surgery and how well he's actually going to play once he gets into the lineup. And I think I know I'm all over the place because I only have a short amount of time. However, the one thing I did want to cover is the fourth line. Bo Bennett is really the only guy signed for that fourth line. Where Eric Ferrer is going to fit in is going to be determined, obviously, when he comes back. But I think the signing of Ferrer, Bonino, is signaling to me that this fourth line probably is not going to be comprised of AHL players. I don't know if Rutherford's going to, you know, bring up Rust or Wilson and let them figure in, or Sundquist. But I think at this point, the only real player that we can really pencil in on that fourth line is going to be Bo Bennett. I don't think that Rust or Wilson are good enough to play at the NHL level. That's been my stance for a season and a half now. Why people think that, you know, there's always a growth. And we talk about growth a lot on our webpage and our group page on Facebook, that players have to grow and they have to adjust to the systems and the style of the NHL, because there is a great deal difference between the NHL and the American Hockey League. When we have seen guys come up, typically like your Brian Rust, your Jason Megna, and some other players, they have a tendency to not be able to adjust as quick. And that doesn't mean that they're not a good player. It simply means that the adjustment is probably too great for their skill set at the time. This is something that doesn't take – there's superstars that come up to the NHL that can play well, but there are some guys that are just really good at the AHL level, and that's where their talent peaks. They stop there. So I don't know necessarily if that fourth line would be compromised of all AHL players, but I would suspect that possibly one will be. It's going to depend. If Rutherford goes out and he signs at least one fourth liner, pair him with Bennett, then you may see him adjust and bring somebody up from the AHL. But at this point, I don't see him filling out that line with all AHLers. I just don't think it would work. So moving forward to something else is the concern that in some way, fashion, or form that Phil Kessel won't work out. I don't think that's going to be the problem. I don't think Phil Kessel is going to have a problem adjusting playing with Crosby or Malkin. Toronto media has a big problem with dogging and kicking a sick dog. That's what they do. And if you look closely at what the good players in Toronto have said, they've all said Phil Kessel's a great guy to play with, so I don't think that we're going to have any problems with him. I think he could easily put up 40 to 60 points next season, and that helps. But on the offhand of all of that, the one thing that concerns me going forward, especially with this team, is you can have all the forward depth in the world, but if you don't have that depth on the back end, once again talking about the blue line, then you're probably going to be in a bit of trouble. We're going to take a call right now. Let's see who we got on the air. You're on Pens Vlog Talk. Who is this?
Hey, Jeff, it's Dan. How you doing?
Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just wanted to say something real quick about Sutter and lightly touch on Bennett, and I'm going to cut out because I know we've got a short show today.
Gotcha.
For people who are upset about Sutter leaving, with people who are upset about Sutter's trade, please calm down. We actually got more of an upside than you think when it comes to this trade. And as far as Bennett goes, I stand by what I said on our blog as well as on our Facebook page. This is his last chance.
Well, do you think, here's a good question for you. Do you think that the Penguins got a better deal? Because a lot of people are talking about this deal. And my point on the show was that, look, we essentially traded Brandon Sutter for a Nick Bonino, a second round pick, and Clendening. That's three players for one. I mean, technically three players for two because we traded away a third round pick. But I like this deal. I think this deal makes sense.
it makes sense. And you have to remember, ladies and gentlemen, we only acquired Sutter because we couldn't, because there was no way we were going to give in to the demands of Jordan Staal becoming a second-line center. And so when he was given an option of where to go, he said he wanted to go to Carolina. So he wanted to go play with his brothers after he found out that he wasn't going to be a second-line center, and that's how we acquired Sutter at the draft a couple of years ago.
Where do you think this team is heading now that they've made a move in adding Kessel and Bonino?
I said it looked fuzzy is a good way of putting it a couple of days ago. I want to think that they're going to compete. However, I still stand by my attitude that if someone on the top six goes down for a long period of time, it could hamper this team if Rutherford does not pull the trigger and make a smart move like he did yesterday.
No, I think you're right. And I think one of the interesting parts about what Rutherford is doing, because, you know, I don't trust the guy for any reason, but I think the one thing he's doing, because a lot of people have addressed this Chris Kunitz issue, and my whole point to that is you move him if you can get something in return, but at this point, I don't think that's a logical move until at least the deadline.
I would wait until the deadline, unless I have to move him immediately for worst-case scenario. I have to move someone to make a trade because one of my players is down. Then I would move him before the deadline. But unless that happens and there's something awful that you have to pick up someone in a package trade, then you move Kunitz. Unless that can hold off, and we hope it can, then I would move him at the deadline. So you can see I'm walking back what I said this morning about Kunitz being next. No, I honestly think, in hindsight, that Rutherford is going to wait a little bit. Although we do need a defense.
I think so. And I think on the defensive front, one of the things I was saying was, you know, they really have to be able to determine whether Derek Pouliot and Oli Mata can really anchor this team. If they can, you know, you have Cole, you have Letang, Scuderi, whatever. But I think at the end of the day, if Cole comes in and plays like he did last season, if Mata comes back strong, Letang comes back strong, then and Pouliot's good, then really you may not have nearly the problem you think you do, but they're not going to have a whole lot of time to evaluate that.
No, they aren't. I mean, one of the catches about the Penguins the last several seasons, and I love this team, you know I do, is that they've been injury plagued, and it's been Mata, it's been Letang, it's been Crosby, it's been Dupuis. The list goes on. Everyone's caught an injury bug. Sometimes it's longer term than short term. Other times it's gone in a couple of days. So if I'm Johnston and his coaching staff right now, I would ignore the background and I would focus on evaluating these players top to bottom. So that way, in case something's needed trade-wise early, I'll be able to go to Jim Rutherford and say, look, this is what we've decided. This is what areas we need. Is there any way you can work out a trade?
Well, and I think the appropriate step to take, because a lot of people were surprised by the Eric Fair deal considering he's hurt. But if you think about it, I Rutherford knew that going into the deal, but I think it was a smart move in the sense of he comes back, he'll chip in and help out an extra body at this point. He's apparently learned his lesson with all the injuries last year is you can never have too many players. And I think that's a good thing. And we're in the green cap wise. So I think going
forward. Yeah, $1.4 million, I believe.
Yeah, he's really played it well. He can screw it up still, but I think we're going to know more by the end of camp. And I think that they're going to initially probably start the season with the D rotation that they have. It wouldn't surprise me to see him try to do something to the extent of, I'm going to move Scuderi for some cap. And he may make one of those moves just to give us a little more cap. But I think just logically, I think he's probably got to be done unless he goes after that fourth line center, or maybe something lands on his desk he can't turn away. But these forwards have been a luxury for us, being able to sign some guys. And I think at this point, he may just sit back. What do you think about that?
I think he'll sit back. I mean, landing Kessel was huge. We can debate this all night long, and we usually do. Getting Kessel was a big deal. Buffalo an octave out of the KHL. I saw the video you sent me. The guy's a beast. The top six is solidified. You put Plotnik from the KHL onto the Malkin line. You put Kessel on the Crosby line. If these guys can score, like, say, for Kessel, 60, 70 points, and, say, 50 to 60 for the guy from the KHL that we want to put on Malkin's line, that's a pretty solid combination right there to have on the top two lines.
Well, it is. And one of the unique things that we have this season right now currently that we didn't have was we didn't have players like a Nick Spaulding that could step up from the fourth and play on the first or the second. Perron can float. Bonino can float. Fair is definitely a floater. So you have all these interchangeables, and I think that's depth. He's actually finally added depth, and that's a good thing. But I also say that with a disclaimer by saying be careful, because if you lose one or two of these guys, you could have a collapse. However, I think what the difference is now is if Malkin goes down, you've got Kessel. If Crosby goes down, you got Malkin. So it looks like it's going to be pretty interchangeable this season, which I like. And I think that's the smart way to go. And I think, you know, he said he was going to address the top six. He's done that by adding four players that can play in the top six in Bonino, Fair, Kessel, and Plotnikov.
And one other quick note real quick. If somehow two go down, I'll put up Hornquist in a minute. Because Hornquist,
yeah, that's,
he's also someone that you could float. Believe it or not, you can float with Hornquist.
Yeah, they have
well.
A lot of players. So, yeah, they definitely
the
they have a lot of
there,
players.
And I have been one of Rutherford's critics ever since he was in Carolina. I applaud these moves that he's making right now. I think they're very sound moves. However, with that being said, now the question is does he keep going on the right direction, or do we slip things back again?
Well, that's a really good question to ask, and I think looking at it right now from the outside the box, of course, I think he's made good moves. And one of the things I wanted to get to before we kick off the show today is that there's a lot of talk about Bo Bennett, and a lot of people don't understand why the Penguins re-signed him, and I can tell you exactly why they re-signed Bo Bennett. They needed a guy to round out the fourth line. That's a guy you can re-sign and not pay a lot of money for, but also think of it this way in these terms. If Bo Bennett has a 15-goal season or a 20-point season, what is going to happen is that Jim Rutherford will trade him. And I think that Bennett is going to be the piece of a puzzle, not for this team, but for another team. And I think ultimately that sign only makes sense because I think eventually he's going to use him as trade bait. What do you think?
I think he's going to be used as trade bait. I said this morning to you privately, and I will say it here in public, I hope Bo improves. I don't want the kid to fail. There's a nice little misconception out there that I want Bo Bennett to fail. Never said that. I want him to prove himself, so that way if he is trade bait, we can get something out of it, or if he is indeed a part of the future building block of this team, we can prove that as well.
Right. I mean, it makes sense from that standpoint. One last question, and it's a doozy. Prior to these trades, I think we both kind of thought, this is going to be an iffy season. Watching the moves that Rutherford has made, I know there are still some concerns, obviously, but what do you think now versus, say, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, I privately told you this team would be lucky to get to fifth place in the division.
Right.
Now, it all depends on the intangibles. It depends if a major key goes down, and if so, how Jim reacts. I don't want to go looking way, way deep into things, but I have to with this question. Six of the last 10 games of the last 10 games in this coming season are against division. So what will speak more loudly is not so much what we have now, but how this team plays against the division. Because the last thing this team is going to want is April 9th, the last game of the season in Philadelphia, being told, if you win, you're in. If not, you need help.
No, I agree with you. There's no way they can put themselves in that situation again. And I think, you know, and we'll talk about it more as we get closer to camp, but I think one of the things people are really going to want to keep their eye on is watch those divisional games. That was a huge problem last year for the Penguins, and they've got some high-end talent on other teams this coming season, and it's going to be interesting because if you cannot win the battles in your division, that is a signal to me that something isn't working. And all of those fingers are going to be pointed to ownership, to the general manager, to the associate general managers, to the coaches. And I think that what the expectation that Penguins fans really need to have is take it game by game. Until they can prove that they can be consistent and play a consistent style, whoever they add doesn't make a hill of beans to me. It doesn't. They just got to be able to prove it. Any final thoughts?
You took the words out of my mouth, there for a second. It doesn't. I don't want people already saying that because we acquired Kessel, because we acquired Fair, and you know all the other trades that have happened, that we're going to get, that we're going to win the cup. No, take it night by night. And as the website develops and we start talking about things in depth with our writers, with our shows, etc., people will be able to hear different opinions as to what happens. Because I started doing stats with the three. I started doing the three impressions with stats. And what I noticed was we tried, and when it came to the coaching staff, they tried to look for positives. You know, even when we got blown out 5-1, well, this worked out. The team didn't show up that night. I'm just hoping at this point that this team learns together as one, as a foundation, to produce a full 60 every night. Because I would rather lose 3-2 playing the full 60 minutes than lose 5-1 and not show up at all.
Totally agree, Daniel. I got to run because I got under 2 minutes left. But thanks for calling in, buddy.
Take it easy. Bye.
So there you have it. That's Daniel from Penn's Blog Post, the co-partner and writer on our Penn's Blog Post. Listen, if you're on Facebook and you want to check us out, just go to Facebook groups and type in Penn's Blog Post. You'll find us there. We've also got a blogger that you can hit up on Google Plus, or you can hit us up on the actual blog site, which I believe is pennsvlog7@blogspot.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. I know it was a short show today. It's that time of year where it's probably really difficult to get a lot going on. But as usual, we're going to hit you up once a day, kind of let you know what's going on. And definitely we hope to see all of you come September on our new site. So have a great day, everybody, and we will see you on the flip side.